regular meeting to order. And want to do introductions? Starting with Sergeant Ray, over.
Sergeant Julie Ray, Columbia Police Department. I'm the liaison. Sergeant Julie Ray, I'm the liaison for the police department.
Brandon Barnes.
Cheryl Miller, Human Rights Liaison.
Doug Hunt.
Reese Ellis.
Rhonda Carlson.
Stephanie Coleman.
Stephen Jeffrey.
Xavier Scruggs.
Rose Whitmire, I'm the staff liaison.
Okay. Before we go to the agenda, got it written here, don't have it. We'll go ahead and look for, does anybody want to make any changes to the agenda? All right. Does anybody want to approve it?
Move to approve the agenda.
Okay.
Second. Jeffrey, second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. And we have one member that is en route from the airport, so she will be late, but she will be here. Next, we have our old business. The draft.
Have approval of minutes.
Oh, approval of minutes, sorry. Having a good day. Approval of minutes. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes from the April 12th meeting? Did anybody have any changes to those? I would entertain a motion to approve.
I will approve.
I'll second. Coleman.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Now, Rose, do we approve our closed meeting minutes?
Yes.
As well? Okay.
If there are changes, though, we should pass the matter so that the changes
okay.
could be.
Did anybody have any changes to the closed meeting minutes? Seeing none, then I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Scruggs, second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, under old business, we've got the 2022 annual draft report. And I think we talked about this at the last meeting, and we were, at that moment, I think our intent was to pass it with our audit. And I think once we started digging into it, I think we probably should do like past boards where we go ahead and approve the draft and then do a supplemental report when we've done a thorough audit. And I think that's what I've kind of discussed and thought for myself. Is there anybody else that has any other feelings on that?
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of agree with that, given that the auditing, I think that we're going to have a little bit more discussion about audits and how to approach that, and so that there is a consensus. So I'm okay with passing a motion for the draft minutes to be approved and then supplement that after with the audit report or whatever we need to do.
Okay, is there a second to that?
Jeffrey.
Wait, who made the motion? Cheryl?
Yeah.
Cheryl.
Jeffrey, second.
Is there any other discussion on that? Okay, seeing none?
No, I agree.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right. And as far as audits, those are under review, and we are working on those. And we've got review of policy and training through our audit system as we're doing that.
Yeah.
We are coming to new business, and we can entertain some discussion on this, but we had put this the new business items on here prior and just after our last meeting. And I know there's public here that's going to speak to it. This is some policies that we know we've heard in the public has come up for discussion many times. And so these are on here purely for that purpose. And I know that they're going to require some discussion amongst ourselves during our audit process. And so that's why they're on here. and they'll continue to be an item that's on new business as we move through. So unless anybody has anything specific that they want to talk about them as they stand now, because they will stay on here, I would entertain a motion to table that to allow public meeting.
Hunt, so moved.
Let me catch up.
So assuming we were to pass that motion, would you entertain a motion to move up public comment, or would you like to go through the rest in regular order and just table the new business?
We're just going to go in the regular order so that allows for more time for comment.
And then was there a second?
Jeffrey, second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that takes us to, now, Rose, we will supply you with if there's anything we need to put for next month's agenda beyond these. Reports?
Keep
that on there.
On.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was the motion on both?
Both of them.
Policy 300 and 447?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you give me a moment.
I will do so. Say when. That's okay.
Okay.
You had to wait for me with Ms. Be a long time. Ready? Okay. We are now to reports. Did we have any positive connections or ride-alongs?
I did. I don't know if all of you know, but I'm a teacher at Battle High School, and we have a couple SROs that work there. And I've had some really good conversations with them about their plans for what they're going to do for the summer, you know, to work with our students and try to develop programs and different things that they can do for the community. So we're continuing to talk and have those discussions, and they've been very positive. So,
In terms of positive community connection, got to have a chance to sit down, have some coffee for a couple hours with some community members who, you know, are frequent, you know, public comment folks here at this meeting, and got to talk pretty seriously about different issues, you know, in terms of the system, in terms of policing community more broadly, and, you know, what different solutions can look like. Very, very positive interaction. You know, I was very happy to have had that.
Anybody else? Okay. Human Rights Commission report. Cheryl.
We've been having guest speakers come in and speak about from the different community agencies around town. The last speaker, I believe, was from Upward Mobound Mobility, and she came in, and I could be saying the name wrong, so I apologize for that. But she came in and she kind of talked about what that program was about, their priorities, and, you know, what their agenda is looking like. And just, you know, what we're really focused up on is definitely on the housing issues. So that's an ongoing discussion. So if anyone has, you know, any connections or want to come and talk with us about any human rights issue, then please do so. We meet the first Tuesday of the month. Also, we have been speaking about Juneteenth, so the commission had approved for us to participate in Juneteenth events this year. However, I don't think that we're going to participate at in the parade, but we're going to do so, if there is a parade, but we're going to do so at Douglas Park. I don't know, since there wasn't an outreach committee here tonight, I definitely would hope that we can have some type of discussion as to whether or not, if this board want to kind of, similarly what we did last year, is to join the Human Rights Commission and us going together, get a booth and table it and pass that information. So I believe that Juneteenth event's coming up this year, maybe it's June 17th, I think that's what it is. And I have to check my calendar for that. So with that being said, I don't know, Rhonda, if you have to, wait till the outreach subcommittee report for us to talk about Juneteenth, or can we?
I think we roll right into it.
Okay.
So if you're done with yours.
All right. So I mean, I'm open for a discussion of that. Any questions that you have, may have about Juneteenth. What we did last year, again, this commission and the Human Rights Commission teamed up together. We tabled a table there. We also participated in the parade. So in terms of hours that you can anticipate of being there from anywhere, maybe about 10 to maybe about 4 or 5-ish, somewhere around in there, just to avoid that quorum issue. We ask that, you know, we have a morning staff as well as an afternoon staff. And me, myself, I kind of stay there throughout the whole day because I've been in both capacities. So if you're interested in doing that, we can do like we did last year, get a sign-up sheet and with the different shifts, and then you can start signing up for that. But pretty much, you know, interacting with the public, passing out some literature, and it's, I mean, it's really eventful. I mean, we had a good time last year.
It
made
was
a
hot.
Lot of contacts and everything. Yeah, it was hot, but yeah, it was worthwhile. It was worth it, though. It really was.
Okay, thank you. And we did not have a quorum for the subcommittee report, so there isn't much else to say on that. That brings us to comments by public members and staff, and so I'm going to kind of turn this over to Rose, with the exception of because we want the public to have as much time to say what they need to say. We will pause the meeting if it goes so long as to 9 o'clock, because we do have a closed hearing session this evening. So should that be necessary? Rose? I will read that. Oh, I have to read my. And the time for public comment shall be limited 3 minutes for individuals and 5 minutes for individuals who are representing a group or organization. So that's your time limits if you do come up and speak. I'm going to let staff speak first.
First, we did receive one written comment from Rebecca Shaw, so that will be included with the minutes related to Policy 300. Also, just to remind everyone, you are an appeal board. If people are discussing recent events, which the public is welcome to discuss recent events, the board needs to remain impartial and unbiased in case an appeal is later presented to you all. So with that said, if there are any questions, let me know.
Were there any other members that wanted to speak? You want to wait till after?
I think we'll wait till after.
Okay. I would invite the public to come forward and speak then.
Thank you for taking comments. My name is Matthew Cummings. I'm retired federal law enforcement as of this past January. My problem is with those two officers still collecting a paycheck. These people, the people that, and I know that this board has limited power, but use whatever, I encourage you to use whatever influence that you have to get rid of those two punks, because you have some beautiful ideas, man. As long as you have officers running around treating people like trash, it's nothing. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Anyone else from the public wishing to speak?
My name's Dan Veets. I'm an attorney with offices of 15 North 10th Street. I'm representing the Mid-Missouri Civil Liberties Association here this evening. Our group grew out of the ACLU of Mid-Missouri, which was here in our community for 42 years, I think it was, before the ACLU of Missouri chose to eliminate local chapters. But we continue to work closely with that group and have very similar goals and purposes. There's obviously been a great deal of discussion about the proper role of this organization recently and the legislation that enables it. And I understand there might even be some changes occurring in the Missouri General Assembly during the remainder of this week that would have an impact on what this group can do. But I think it's obvious that when something like the incident that we're all very conscious of right now, the incident in which a citizen was unjustifiably beaten by Columbia police officers. I mean, it brings immediate great concern, and justifiably so, from the entire community. And I hope that our city council will do whatever it can to give you all the authority to respond when things like this happen. I understand Rose's concerns, too, that, you know, you must appear to be unbiased in case this matter comes before you. But, you know, we're talking months probably in the future if that ever occurs. And there's a need for, I suggest, a need for a more immediate response. And there's a need for this group, I think, to have the authority to initiate investigations. And to not be limited just to reviewing what the police department itself has done very, very long after the event has occurred. You know, and I raised this because our chapter was very much a part of originating this body. The CPRB came into existence after many years of lobbying, and in large part because of the Mid-Missouri ACLU's work. I remember talking with Mayor Hindman about this, and he was a great guy, but even he would not have pursued this if we hadn't nagged him and continued to remind him that this is an important question, the way that the community deals with its police and the way that our city is perceived by the community. And I mean that in the broadest sense. The entire population of our city needs to be assured that the police are a civil authority, that they are our servants and not our masters, and that this, it seems to me, there are other models, of course, but it seems to me the logical and proper model here should be one in which this entity has the authority to act and to do more than just review the disposition of cases, to initiate investigations at least of topics like police department policy and police department training and matters which bear on and we hope prevent incidents like the one that took place last weekend here downtown. So I appreciate, and I'm sure I speak for many, many people in the community, we appreciate your undertaking a difficult task of bringing this body back to life and making it meaningful again, and making it an important part of our community, important part of our city government. And I wish you the best of luck. And I assure you that the Mid-Missouri Civil Liberties Association, our acronym is MOCLA, remains committed to supporting your work and to assisting in that work in any way that we can. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Anthony Wilroth. I'm lead organizer of Hold Como Accountable. If you guys are unfamiliar, one of the core goals of my group, Hold Como Accountable, is actually to reform the way that the Citizens Police Review Board functions and for the City of Columbia to challenge 2021 Missouri Senate Bill 26. And there's a number of reasons for that. I mean, I've kind of avoided coming and giving public comment to you guys directly up until now because I was wanting to honestly give you guys some space to find your footing now that meetings have been started back up and all of that. Also, I learned a lot about the problems with the board kind of retroactively. So I wanted to give it a chance to kind of see how some of it was playing out for myself. And to be honest, what I've seen, and I don't mean this as a criticism, I'm hoping that this propels you guys forward. What I've seen is a board that feels very scared to do much. I mean, it's several meetings in now, and you guys have pushed off electing a chair. We've now tabled looking at things that were on the agenda tonight, even though community meetings were rescheduled so that people could be here to watch what was on the agenda tonight. And I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, this is almost more effective way of keeping the CPRB ineffective than when the mayor tabled it for half a year, because now people's eyes aren't watching. People are like, oh yeah, the CPRB is meeting again. But if you watch the meetings, it's like, are they really? No, when you guys are on the public comment, usually 20 minutes after you start, that's not doing the work. I've applied to be on some boards and commissions and unfortunately not been chosen, but I promise you, I applied to be on those boards and commissions to show up for a lot longer than 20 minutes per night. Now I want to talk about the use of force incident that was in the news this past week. And I think that that's a good opportunity for people on the Citizens Police Review Board to examine whether or not a more effective board could have prevented that. Because the police department, for reasons unknown to me, has refused to acknowledge the fact that there's photographs that plain as day show that that's Officer Gardner Podorf that was punching that man in the face. And he has had a number of internal affairs reports against him. And even though in past incidents, like when he shot and killed a man and said that he honestly couldn't say why, the state of Missouri elected not to prosecute him, there was certainly opportunity for an effective Citizens Police Review Board to step in there and say, hey, something's still not right with that. Now we have a situation where he's popping up in the news again, thankfully only for punching a man. That sounds crazy to say, but this time it's not killing a man. So, way to go, CPD, I guess.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak?
Hey, Rose, good to see you. Julie. My name is Danielle Moscato. I've had a number of police encounters over the years. My brother is a police lieutenant here at CPD. I know a lot of the police officers. I spent an hour talking to Lieutenant Alpers, I think his name was, at CPD about all of these things. I'm not a fan of the police. I'm a police abolitionist. If you're not familiar with the concept of police abolition, I encourage you to research that. There's a lot of basic questions that tend to come up about police abolition, like what are we going to do with criminals and blah, blah. Please just look it up because those answers have been answered. So I would like to see the police department disbanded. I think that they're a waste of resources. I think that they do a terrible job. There's a culture of toxic masculinity. There's a culture of covering for each other, and internal affairs, with respect to due respect to Julie, is useless. It doesn't do its job. I was recently harassed 6 times in a row by a police lieutenant, by a CPD police lieutenant. I was having a PTSD episode. I have diagnosed PTSD. I take 3 medications for PTSD. I see a therapist 2 times a week for PTSD. I've been hospitalized for PTSD. I was sitting on my phone on an app in the dark and just on the couch at home. And this police lieutenant started mocking me for having PTSD. Now, I want to mention, this guy is one of the special trained cops who deals with emotionally distressed persons. And he started mocking me, and I asked him to leave me alone. And he said, what are you gonna do about it? And I said, please just leave me alone. I just wanna be left alone. He goes, or what? And I said, please, I just wanna be left alone. He goes, you can't make me. And I said, no, I can't, but I would like to be left alone. Please just go away. And he goes, what are you gonna do if I don't? And I'm serious. And I said, please just leave me alone. I just want to be left alone. And he says, what are you going to do about it? And the 6th time I asked him to leave me alone, I yelled at him, please just go away. It's not an unreasonable request. I just want to be left alone so I can do my PTSD app. Please just go away. And he threatened to arrest me for yelling at him. Okay? This guy is a police lieutenant here. He just got promoted. I went to internal affairs about this. I talked to Julie. And I said, this guy's harassing me. He won't leave me alone. He threatened to arrest me for no reason at all. They did their little investigation. They found nothing, of course. This is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. The police are not effective. They don't do what they're supposed to do. If they did what they were supposed to, I mean, it's like the joke, right? There's no song called Fuck the Fire Department, right? My point is, if police cannot be responsible with weapons, they should not have them. Many other countries, cops don't carry guns. If they need a gun, then SWAT team comes in. If they can't be responsible with firearms, then they should only have tasers. I think every cop should be trained on a taser, and only special elite units that are responding to violent crime should carry guns. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
Renee Carter, and I'm speaking for Race Matters Friends. First of all, I'd like to mention that taking policies 300 and 447 off of your agenda for tonight is alarming and very misguided, because we should be addressing those policies at a time when policy 300 is already in question as to whether or not it's effective. So our response, you know, our group was watching has watched numerous violations to people's rights as related to use of force or response to resistance or perceived resistance. The most recent one was last Friday when officers brutally used excessive force on a man outside of Harpo's bar. The use of force involved tasing, macing, and face punching the man over him refusing to pay for a cover charge into a bar. According to the story, the bar bouncer and the staff needed assistance with the man, and when police arrived, the video of them showed no use of de-escalation techniques on a man who appeared to be intoxicated. He was already pinned to the ground by the Harpo bouncer and other staff, and one of them was sitting on his neck while the other one had him restrained at the other part of his body. The man expressed confusion and seemed disoriented as police tased and maced him, and he became more resistant so that the officer fist-punched him in the face. Unfortunately, humans try to get away from mace and tasers, and so the expected response was received from the person being detained. But being the fist punch over a measly cover charge is not an expected response from a police officer. The man did not have any visible weapons and was more of a nuisance than a danger. Race Matters Friends is requesting that this policy be further refined to decrease the number and types of use of force responses. The first step would be to better define resistance and what is danger to the public and a police officer. The second would be to better define the types of force that can be used in specific situations. While the heat of the moment, the officer might have difficulty determining the level and type of force to use, continual training and practice helps officers gain control over themselves. Over themselves. And that's the big key here. They were not in control of themselves. If officers use force, the person they're trying to arrest or remove from the situation is going to escalate. So de-escalation training is vital and key to saving lives and reducing injuries to everyone. De-escalation training that I was taught told me that once I touch an agitated person, they're going to de-escalate and become more agitated. Once I take a stance of dominance, they're going to escalate. Human nature sets people up to fight or flee, so the typical way police approach people is a lose-lose situation in most cases. Taking a dominant stance and squaring up to people does not result in cooperation. Speaking in a loud, demanding voice also escalates the person, but remaining calm and reassuring but firm works. Handcuffing an escalating person is futile because they will resist. If needed, restraint methods that do not involve pinning people to the ground in chokeholds and knees in the back help keep everyone safer. So my suggestion is that you really stress they have that training, because approximately 26% fewer citizens file complaints officially and unofficially when police officers use de-escalation techniques. 28% fewer uses of force incidents are going to come across your desk. And 36% fewer officers are going to be injured, because you need to remember we also need to protect them, and sometimes we need to protect them from themselves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Sorry, am I allowed to ask a question to that or no?
Yes, just try not to ask about the recent incident. But
No. I was just more so curious of the source where I can find that information that you just shared. Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Ms. Carter, if you could send it to me, I'll send it out to all of them.
Anyone? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Katie Huddleston-Smith. I live here in Columbia. I've actually worked pretty extensively with law enforcement. I used to be a civilian investigative assistant in the domestic violence unit. I also used to work at 911 as a dispatcher, so I'm pretty familiar with how they operate. The first thing that I'd like to touch on is something that I think his name is Anthony mentioned earlier. Officer Gardner Potorf killed a man, killed a man, and then was given Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year after killing a man and being declared no wrongdoing. Although he didn't have his body cam on in violation of policy, that already to me tells me that there's some kind of wrongdoing. So why is he back on the streets and why is he hurting other people? This board should have the authority to do something about that, and they don't. You guys are handicapped by the rule, and it's ridiculous. A lot of people are saying that, you know, he's resisting, this, that, and the other. I don't... He was drunk, pretty obviously. There are people in the videos that are telling the officers that he is drunk. He's asking what's going on multiple times. He's dazed. The minute that they touched him, I would consider that, if I was in his shoes, the minute that an officer touches me, I consider myself to be detained by that officer. That means that I'm in their protection. That means that the officer that watched, Officer Schaus, who didn't do a damn thing, he deserves to be held just as accountable. We talk about only some bad apples. We forget that a bad apple spoils the whole bunch. Especially Rookie of the Year. And the last thing that I'd like to touch on, I want to know why there has been pretty much no concern for the welfare of the victim of this crime. Where is he? How is he? He wasn't arrested as far as I can tell, because I've been looking at the mugshots on the 0700 report and nobody's come in with a busted up face. So who is he? Was he arrested? Did they just decide to let him go after this brutality? Is he still in the hospital with a brain bleed after having his face shoved into the concrete and then punched 6 times while drunk? This is what our city police are doing to somebody who is obviously impaired. This is what they'll do to you if something happens and you can't immediately comply with them. Think about that and push for more power, because you guys need it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
Chris Jones, Second Ward. So we've heard a lot about this week about the wrongdoings of officers Potorf and Schaus. What we've not heard is from city leaders condemning the acts. In fact, they've told us to have patience and grace. Bleep you, city council. Bleep you, DeCarlin Seawood and Jeff Jones. I would just also like to say that this is not the only incident of the police department forgetting that they are public servants. They are not supposed to be our overlords. They are supposed to be public servants. So this past Saturday, we had Potorf and Schaus beating a man so bad that he had to go to the hospital. A couple of weeks ago, we had the police department refusing to allow aid workers and media to witness the unhoused people being rousted from their homes. It was absolutely horrible. An aid worker was threatened with arrest for trying to help an unhoused person. How horrible do you have to be, Officer Dickinson, to threaten to arrest an aid worker for trying to help unhoused people? The last one I'm going to talk about is one that you've probably not heard of. So at a warming and cooling center, you'll know that we have a lot of our unhoused community members who attend or who go to our warming and cooling centers. On April 26th, so approximately 2 weeks ago, it was a Wednesday morning. Everything at the encampments had just happened. There's a lot of people being threatened in the public by the police and by community members. And a police officer who I had thought was one of the good apples, who I had actually liked. And he approached a man thinking that he was one person. He was a black man. And he starts demanding his name. And the man says, X. And he goes, X what? And he goes, Mr. X, saying his name. And the officer demanded to know, well, the unhoused person has mental illness. And so the unhoused person tries to run away. Julie, did you know that that officer pulled his taser in a warming and cooling center and threatened him in a building? And so the unhoused gentleman with mental illness, he ran away. He ran down the stairs. He ran through the lobby. He ran out the door. He ran down the street. And the officer ran through the building. He ran down the stairs. He ran through the lobby. And he ran out the street. Thankfully, the unhoused gentleman got away. But that's our officers. Do something.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak? No one else wishing to speak? Comments from members?
I have a question. Is there any way that we can get the numbers? We know that the Missouri legislator passed the legislation that went into effect in January. Can we get numbers or more information into how the CPD is managing or those impacted by homelessness and the numbers of those or the number of arrests that's being made or how you all are handling that situation?
I can check with records and see what they have. My office doesn't have it, but I'll look into it and I'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Concerning.
Yeah. I would make one comment. The stuff we moved off of new business was not moved away to not come back to it. It was on new business this evening because we hear these as items that we hear all the time. It's in the public sphere regarding use of force and body-worn cameras, so we felt like those were two policies that we wanted to review as a board, and it's not something that we would do overnight, and we wanted to table that item just so that we could get the public input on it. We're also going to probably want to have public input on it more than just this evening. It wasn't for tonight's conversation, but we wanted to allow the public to speak and have any comments. The written ones were very helpful. Ms. Carter, if you wanted to send your items that you suggested in as public comment, that would be helpful as well, because this is a living thing. We're working with it and working on it. So we do accept any thoughts that you all have regarding policy changes that might need to be made. Is there anybody else that wanted to address anything?
I do have a couple questions for
yes,
you.
Ma'am.
With regard to the NACOL conference, it's set for November 12th through 16th in Chicago. The city is in the middle of their budget process, so we just need to know how many people are interested in going so that we can request the appropriate funds for that. It is in next fiscal year's budget, so.
And you'd said if there were several that wanted to go, we might even find another mode of transportation.
If everybody wants to go, then we'll request the amount based upon the estimate Samantha has developed. And then if we get less than that, then we can look at adjusting from there. But I do know the city councilor has asked me to ask you this and that the city is interested in getting you all training. So I think if everyone wants to go, I think that maybe something that gets funded, but I cannot speak, you know, that's officially up to the city manager and then ultimately to the city council. But I do believe that the city is committed to getting you all good training.
And you want us to notify you by what date?
If you could just let me know if you're interested tonight, and then later let me know if you're interested and able, because we just really need to have a good idea of how much to request.
I'm interested.
I'm interested.
I'm interested.
I think we all probably.
Okay, show of hands.
I was gonna say, is anyone not interested?
I know that I had sent you an email saying I'm very interested in it. However, my term is supposed to expire in November of 2023. So
I think at this point I will count you as interested, and then we can request the funds and we'll see how much we get.
Okay.
Reese.
I don't know what my flexibility at work is, but say that it was infinite, I would be interested.
Okay, so I'm just going to have it all be interested. We'll ask for that amount, and then we'll see how much we get. And then historically what happens is the board passes a motion to designate who is going. Okay?
All right.
The other thing, another Nicole thing, is they need a designated voter. They're allowing virtual voting. So if you all would like to pass a motion or reach consensus on who the designated voter will be for the board, that would be great. If you need more time to do that, we can delay that as well.
So what is the, what would they be voting on?
Anything involving the NACOL organization, they let their members, I'm not even sure.
Programs,
policies, let's say, I'm sure they would probably consult their members if they were going to change the NACOL code of ethics or something like that. But in the past, they used to require the person to be present at the national conference to vote. They have now changed that, and the voting will happen virtually. But that's all they've told me. Do you want to wait till next month to do that? Or do you?
Anyone feel strongly about wanting to be that vote? I don't necessarily.
Say yes, and then if need be, change it?
Yeah, I think we would just email the changes.
In the absence of anybody saying they would do it, I'll say I'll do it for the time being. If somebody else wants it, we can switch it. I'll be the official voter.
Is the board in consensus, or is there a motion? Right.
That sounds good.
We can assign it to someone else if we need to.
Sure.
That way you don't have to pass that one on.
And we can think about who's actually going to be able to go and be available, which will depend
absolutely
on some.
We need to second that. Virtual.
If it's by consensus, no. If there's a motion, yes.
I think that's consensus.
Consensus. Okay. Well,
I would like to thank everybody for coming out. Those who haven't been here before, if you have, and I haven't noticed or we haven't noticed, I do appreciate y'all coming out. Hopefully we can see y'all every month, and taking notes of the things that y'all have talked about and the recommendations. I find that all so fascinating. So thank y'all.
And I was just going to say, if anyone else has any written comments on any of the policies or anything else they want the board to consider, the easiest way, because you probably won't remember how my name is spelled, but you can either email rosewibmeyer@como.gov. And I'll forward that to the board. Or on the board's webpage, there's a contact this board button, and you can fill that out and attach whatever you want us to know, or and then that will also get forwarded to the board.
And I might add, in terms of what could be really useful to us for subsequent discussions, very concrete suggestion. We're talking about policies that we really want to look at concretely. So if somebody says on policy 300, I would like to see this wording present, it would be very useful to us to be able to consider that. So not just general comments, but very specific comments would be useful for us to consider.
I just wanted to say that, sometimes you guys come forward and you present us with information that we may not know about. So it's great. And, I love your data. I would love, I mean, I know that you're going to send that to Rose and she's going to send it out. But, you know, sometimes when you're up here at the podium, you guys are saying things. I'm taking notes of things that maybe I didn't know about. You might hear, you know, you're going to hear it sooner than I will, maybe. So I appreciate that you guys are bringing it to our attention.
Any other comments? Okay. I'm going to make the motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law, section 610.021, subsection 14, and 590.502, RESMO. So, is there a second to that? Need a second?
Yes.
Hunt, I'll second.
Hunt, second.
All this those, is a roll call
this
vote.
This is a roll call vote. And Jamie is not here, but hopefully we'll be here. Okay. You call.
Brandon Martins.
Aye.
Rhonda Carlson.
Aye.
Stephanie Coleman.
Aye.
Reese Ellis.
Aye.
Douglas Hunt.
Aye.
Stephen Jeffrey.
Aye.
Cheryl Miller.
Aye.
Xavier Scruggs.
Aye.
And did I get everybody?
Yep.
Okay, and Jamie's not here.
Yep. All right. We're in closed session then. Thank you all.